Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, Egg Chasers. Here we go with the MWDP, the Midweek Domestic Podcast from the Rugby Dungeon. We've already talked about the Six Nations that happened at the weekend, and if you missed that, or if you're clicking on this thinking that's what you're expecting to hear, then just hop in the feed and click the last episode. Yep. Hit subscribe. That's JB.
Hello.
That is Phil. And here we are on Monday evening.
Monday night.
What? Yeah, Monday night.
God, it seems like so long ago that we were last in the dungeon talking about the Six Nations.
It seems like a whole day ago.
Yeah.
You're wearing the same clothes, JB, though.
We've just been for a run. Again.
Yeah. So this one, we're going to talk about all the other stories from the rugby week, including a weekend of the Premiership. What stories have there been? Because there's a few signing.
Well, Cam Redpath is
rumbling about.
Officially left Sale to go to Bath. That's quite a big one.
Yeah, that was rumoured.
No, that's been announced today.
Yeah, that was rumoured previously.
But today, on Monday.
On Monday, that has been announced.
That has been announced.
Is that a big bit of news?
I don't know. It's a very interesting piece of news, I think, if you're into the nerdy elements of salary caps and squad construction and EQP and all the rest of it. I think it's really interesting to see how it all goes on. Is it interesting in rugby terms? Probably not. And the reason it's not is because he's had 20 starts for Sale. I've still not seen what the big deal is. Not 20 starts, 20 appearances, sorry.
Will he be going to put pressure on or replace Burns or Priestland?
I doubt it, because I don't think he even plays 10. I don't think he knows where he plays. This is the problem, right? Maybe with the England process of developing players, or the new one, which is, you know, well, let's put them under a load of pressure, let's develop all the basic skills. They don't come out as finished products for the club game. So you've got a young lad like Cam Redpath, who doesn't know if he's a 12 or a 13. Now, you might say that's, you know, inconsequential, but he's also played a bit of 10, he's also played a bit of fullback, they've looked at him at 9, they've done all sorts. And yet he's not equipped to play any of those as a starter. Because
I think that should be inconsequential. I think that is inconsequential.
And that's the whole point.
Because New Zealanders,
yeah,
New Zealanders, Australians, and the really good English players, Elliot Daly, for example, Owen Farrell, for example,
Charlie Yules,
can play number 8,
4, 5, 6.
Yeah. Well, fine.
Tom Curry.
But, you know, if you're a scrum half,
Ben Earl play 13 on wing.
But if you're a scrum half, you need to learn how to box kick. You need that thing. And you know, this isn't actually a view I got from a player who's come from that system, which is that you're not equipping us to play club rugby straight away. And I thought it was a really interesting insight to someone who's been through the process.
Well, maybe at Sale when you sign loads of South Africans. Maybe that's what happens when you sign loads of players.
So do you think it's a South African issue? Is it a serious question?
No, it just happens to have been South Africans. I don't think it's a South African issue.
No. Do you think it's an issue that Sale have signed South Africans, which is why they've had to let go of Cam Redpath?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, of course, you're not going to get much game time. If Cam Redpath was at Northampton, he might well be in the England squad. Full stop.
So I think...
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, Tim.
I disagree with you completely. I think a lot of the England stuff that's come through is basically because of reputation. He's got an amazing reputation. And rightly so, very, very serious kid, very, how can I say, very serious, very impressive, got famous rugby playing dad. But actually, it's not South Africans keeping him out of the team, is it? It's Luke James. It's another English lad. It's the fact they've got Tom Curtis and Doherty and all these other boys. And that's why it's interesting. Are they going to get rid of this guy and say Bath has to pay out a contract? That goes on Bath's cap.
I don't think it is that interesting.
It is interesting if you like. That's why I started with. It's interesting if you like the business side, the salary cap side, and the squad construction side.
More interesting is the
rugby side. This is a non-story.
More interesting is that Ben Spencer is going to be going to Bath as well.
Uh-huh.
Which I
believe, that is quite interesting.
And it's not on loan, apparently. Although I had heard it was going to be on loan and then we'll go back. But apparently, it's a 3-year deal.
What happens to their two current scrum halves who have ambitions of England as well?
Which ones?
Chudders and Cookie.
I think Chris Cook is, well, a few years ago, I'd say he had the makings of an England player.
He's got some of the potential.
The more I see of him, the less I think that.
Yeah. I tend to agree.
Yeah. He is so highly strung.
Yeah.
I mean, he has such good opportunities to learn off Con, Fotolihi, Peter Stringer, and he seems to be coming on nicely. And I don't know why he's dropped off so much suddenly. I mean, to be fair to him, it could be the fact he's had two different directors of rugby who might want different things out of him.
Or three different. Mike Ford, yeah. Todd Blackadder.
Anyway, if you have the chance to sign, it doesn't really matter what's happening to him because Ben Spencer's better than them. And they're signing, and they look like they're going to be signing Ben Spencer. So what does it matter?
Do you know what?
Correct.
Buyer beware when it comes to these Saracens lads, because if you're getting guys on the extremities of their squad, you might find that
Ben Spencer's not on the extremity.
Well, he has got closer and closer to that, to being the number one. Before that, he's always been sat behind Wigglesworth, and before that, always Cock. And what's he now, 24?
Who's Spencer?
24, 25?
He's older than that. I think he's about 28.
Is he really?
Yeah.
So he's been a backup for most of his time. And he fits into that Saracen squad rather nicely. He's
one of the best English scrum halves.
27, 28 in the summer.
And he's an upgrade on what Bath have, so that's fine. And Will Spencer...
it's almost like you don't want to talk about rugby today.
No. I just, like, let's keep the pace up. And Will Spencer to Bath. We could get into the weeds about every single one of these, but so, we'll be here all night.
How is Will Spencer packing down at 8?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I want more back rows at Bath. Please.
I just want more second rows. I want now. I've seen England with.
Oh, no, you're right.
Well, they've got Yules at Bath, haven't they? So they can put him at
number 8.
Yeah. And which Tom Ellis, who plays 6 and second row.
Yep, and does yeah.
Garvey plays both.
Garvey, yeah.
Perfect. This is ideal.
I mean, they could legitimately field 5 in their starting lineup.
Yep.
And at least another 3 on the bench.
Yeah.
Ideal.
8 and second rows in.
I'd like to point out that Yules had his senior debut playing 8 against Toulouse. So you know.
Bristol Bears doing some business. These are on loan, season-long loans, Ben Erland, Max Mellins.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, apparently that's what's being rumoured.
Interesting. So, arousing.
Ben Earl, that is pretty arousing, actually, in that team.
I honestly think that these lads coming out of Saracens are not going to be as good in these other clubs as they were at Saracens. Saracens is a special place, and you'll get a Jack Singleton, and I bet he'll look very much like Jack Singleton who played for Worcester,
yeah,
rather than, you know, a Jamie George understudy.
But that, I mean,
Nick Azikwe would be
players. Players are going to look the best. Well, they're going to be at their best when they're in such a dominant team. I don't think that's that surprising.
Yeah, I don't think some of the guys that they're getting rid of or putting on loan, they're not going to walk into your team and turn you into a championship-winning team.
No. But someone like Ben Earl, I really like that move for him. I think he's rightly got England ambitions. He will want to be in the next World Cup squad. He will want to be playing. He will want to be getting multiple caps. If he stays at Saracens, it will curtail that ambition. If he plays with Nathan Hughes and Radrada and Piatau and all the rest of those brilliant players under Pat Lambert at Bristol, he's right in the shop window. Yeah,
you're also getting to a stage now with Saracens where you can see two tiers of England player. The England player that needs time and more experience, and then the senior guys who actually, this is an advantage for, rest them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a clear differentiation. I can't say it now. Between those two types of players now.
Itoje, Farrell, Jamie George, the Vunipolas. We don't need any more game tape on them to know that they are world class players.
Yeah,
they are always going to get selected for England and for the Lions.
Yeah, I think England next year are going to be bloody awesome if those boys are fresh.
Yeah, if they play 3 championship games and 14 England games.
Who do you think they play? Like Ealing.
Amp Hill, Ealing.
I mean, they're going to have to play the big games, right?
I know, they'll play all the London games. There's loads of London clubs.
Yeah.
It's like Richmond will be coming back up. You'll have London Scottish, Ealing.
Do you reckon the deal is clubs, only clubs they can get the tube to? Anything else, it's off the table.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good rule.
It's a good rule. Yeah. It's a good rule. It was a weekend for wingers.
Oh, in the Premiership.
You got Marlon Yard getting a hat trick. Ollie Hassel Collins getting four.
Four.
Two for Kibberiggy, London Irish winger, young winger. Two for Kibberiggy. Two for.
It was not just two for Kibberiggy. It was everything else that Kibberiggy did.
Oh my god, it killed me in fantasy.
I know.
60 points. My first
loss
of the season.
You lost by more than 60 points, but in the end.
You would have.
Phil had absolutely walloped you.
Had I only fielded Piatau and Kibberiggy, I would have just needed one more point from anyone else to beat you.
I couldn't believe what was happening. I was so smug looking at. With many neutrals on Friday, looking at 36-6 scoreline.
The sailed boys.
The weird thing was about that is, I just flipped open fantasy rugby draft, feeling very smug. Yeah, you know, obviously I've done another
count
number
up of, all my points, yeah. Boys.
And then these numbers started appearing. Next to everybody, like, what has gone?
There's a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah, has anyone seen the Saracens score? That's what's wrong to me. Yeah, 60-10. My word.
Kibberiggy, what a boy.
But what were the other wingers that got two tries as well? Rory McConachie got two as well.
He did, McConachie. On his return.
Yeah.
And if you want to know what he thinks about life, he's on the Rugby Dungeon this week.
Lovely.
Ah, nice, good.
He's really interesting because he went to World Cup and...
Didn't play.
An Olympics.
Olympics.
Which is a quite a unique
thing.
And
he played for Nuneaton.
Did he?
Yeah.
Didn't mention that.
Yeah.
And Hartbury.
He's got some much better achievements than that. So he's an Olympic silver medalist, isn't he?
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
Oh, that's something we should touch on briefly.
World and Olympics silver medalist.
World. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, world rugby.
Runner up in the Olympics and the World Cup.
Yeah.
Wow.
Always the bridesmaid.
Yeah, so anyway, you can listen to that on Wednesday. It's already done, so yeah.
That is quite a good little talking point, actually, which is, so Cheslin Kolbe said that he wants to play in the Olympics. Olympics, subject to COVID-19, will be taking place in Japan this summer.
What, wasn't there, when Brazil had the Olympics, wasn't there the Zika virus just before that?
Yeah.
There's always a virus going around, it's fine.
Yeah. But, so Kolbe would be amazing at sevens.
He should be amazing at sevens.
He would be.
No, I'm always reticent to say they are amazing at sevens until I see them. So many times you think that and...
I'm sure he has played sevens before as well. He would be amazing.
In fact, yeah, I think you're right, because I think that was mentioned on my podcast that he... Because I said, are you the only player that went to the Olympics and did the World Cup in England? And he went, yes, I think I am.
From England.
But I think Colby was the other one that
you mentioned.
Nakarawa
and Tuisova.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the Fijians, but they definitely are there. And the other ones that stand out, of course, are the Americans.
Colby got a bronze medal at the Summer 16 Olympics.
Oh, so maybe he is quite good at it.
Maybe he'll be okay.
I think even if I'd never seen him play sevens before, I'd probably guess he'll be all right.
Yeah. I would.
Do you think he can hold his own?
I'd bank on him being okay. But that, it does raise the question, who else would you like to see?
In sevens?
Yeah.
I'm not really bothered.
Oh, the Olympics is something special.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, of course it is. Of course it is. What am I talking about?
The opportunity to win an Olympic gold is incredible.
Cobus Reinach.
Yeah.
Reinach's a good shout. Colby and Cobus Reinach.
As I explained, and as you will back me up with, reluctantly, Phil, sevens is wonderful. Do you remember a single cohesive minute of sevens when we went to London sevens?
Weren't we watching the semi-final of the Premiership?
Who knows?
In the bar.
Oh, yes, we were.
And I remember chatting to Habana.
Yep.
And I think there was a big hit at one point where the crowd went, ooh.
Ooh. I mean, the point I'm trying to make is when you say...
I remember Sweet Caroline.
Yeah. When you say, who would you like to see sevens? My point is, you could put any seven out there. I don't care. I really don't care who is playing sevens at that time.
I'd like to see Santiago Cordero.
Ah, good shout. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Ben Earl.
Yep.
That's a good shout.
Who would...
He's
that's
explosive.
A great shout. Ben Earl and Sam Simmons would be awesome.
Sam Simmons is a sevens player.
Is he?
Yeah, definitely. Came from Seventh Circuit. I say definitely.
Saw him today. I saw him today at Sandy Park.
Yeah, you mean
like the Exeter players. I've said it many times before, and it always sounds a little bit weird, but I mean this in such a they all develop these powerful rumps.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Their body shape is so just so squat and powerful.
Posterior heavy.
Yeah, posterior heavy. What exercise is it they do?
Oh, it's the bikini booty workout.
The Steve Elliott bikini booty workout. So anyway,
back... they could probably make some money with like Instagram influencers. Actually, the Exeter Chiefs bum workout. Genuinely, Phil, you know what you're talking about. What movements will it be? Will it be the big compound, big body movements?
All your big compound.
Wouldn't it just be the one the girls do with the weight across
the hips?
The hips and
the hip thrusters.
Nordic
thrust.
Hip, yeah.
Do people do that?
What do you mean do people do that? Of course they do. They love it.
To pull, though. No.
It's more of a push exercise. Right, Premiership, we seem to have drifted.
Just the one person I would like to see in sevens.
Don't swing on my antique chairs, please.
Okay.
Stop doing that.
The one person I would like to see in sevens would be a potential repeat of the Hain Trains attempt to make the Olympics after converting from rugby to American football. Christian Wade.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It might be a good shout for him.
No idea.
He's loving America too much, isn't he?
Probably.
Yeah. I occasionally see some...
American sevens do that.
Because like Christian Scotland-Williamson and Alex Gray are both still rostered.
Yeah.
So they've, even though they've not played had a snap in the NFL, they've both had at least 3 years.
Yeah, well, you can keep them around and you don't need to use a roster spot, do you? Because of the international scheme.
Still, you know, whatever it is, $100 and something, $1,000 a
it's
year.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot more than if they were playing rugby.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. The minimum is like 500,000.
No, if you get...
I don't know what the...
No. It's a minimum, I think, $600,000 if you make the roster.
So what is the...
The practice squad, which is what they're on, is something like $140,000.
Poor guys. You can't live on that.
Well, that is definitely less than Christian Wade would be getting playing rugby.
It depends if he's playing for England.
No.
He'd be getting more than... So 140 would be 100K.
Maybe, yeah, 100K-ish.
No. Let's talk about the Premiership, because I've got a few thoughts about the Premiership. Number one, this is a weekend of absolute beatdowns.
Some one-sided games?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some real beatdowns.
What's that down to? Is it just international players away?
No, it's the Saracens scandal, isn't it?
Saracens, this was the first one where you think, have they actually given up? Are they checked out for the season already?
By the way, what a time to check out. They checked out 1 week too late. They should have really done it last week, but that's the way it is. 60 points to 10. I mean, that's shocking. And this team that they put out against Wasps was not that dissimilar to one that beat Sale the week before. So what has happened there, I have no idea. But, you know, that result has to be something to do with their relegation.
Didn't they get beaten handily in their last away league game as well before this one?
Harlequins got smashed by Harlequins.
Harlequins smashed them. So what?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
If it comes down to it, at the end of the season, we're looking at what the European spots are or the playoff spots are, and you're a team that faced Saracens at home at the beginning of the season before the scandal had emerged, and you got the full brunt of Saracens, and you miss out by a couple of points. You can see how this could. It's
really
annoying. Really skew the league.
Completely.
Yeah.
Agree.
Do you want? But what is the alternative?
What is the alternative?
They should have relegated two. Two should be relegated.
This is hopefully a total one-off situation. But that, even if it's relegated two, it doesn't change Saracens.
No,
it they just don't care now.
No, and nor should they. The interesting thing here is Wasps, because I would have put Wasps in a bracket of teams where I'd say, yeah, they are taking liberties with the league because they know they can't get relegated. I don't mean that in a bad way. They have been very business savvy by sacking their director of rugby, getting the transition out of the way now when they're safe.
They're just moving him aside for an interim period.
Yes. Yeah, it's like a couple spending a trial bit of time apart. That always works well.
We were on a break!
So they're doing that. I've got to say, you've interviewed Jordan Murphy a few times, right?
Yeah.
I think you think quite highly of him.
I do, yeah.
I saw him at Sale, and I have to say that is a man that looks like he's checked out. Completely checked out. Like, I would have thought after a 36-6, and it's such a strange weekend, the 36-6 actually isn't that bad a result. You think, oh, that's fairly respectable. No, it's not. It's an absolute hammering.
Compared to Saracens and Northampton, it's respectable.
Yeah,
it was a pasting.
The manner of the defeat.
Leicester Tigers did not get Sale's 22 once.
They were totally clueless.
Like, yeah.
They could not create.
And it wasn't even the fact that they had, you know, inferior players on or backup players. It was the decisions they were making. They were throwing it wide when there's nothing on. There's just so Jordan Murphy comes into the press room to do his press conference. The first thing he does is head for a box of pizza and looks incredibly casual. And I'm thinking, this isn't right. Just because you're not going to get relegated, it feels like they've just checked out. It's like, oh well, you know, we've lost, but we did some good things. We had some boys come through and they did well. They're some backups. This is Leicester Tigers. I think that they should be absolutely livid with a 36-6 loss.
He's cushy because he's just been made director of rugby.
And I actually, coaching is not where I think the issue is. And although we've talked about the structure and before and how many different coaches they have and the sort of conveyor belt that seems to be going on there, this is as we've talked about, they need to clean house. And this is an issue that is many, many years in the making with awful recruitment. Absolutely awful recruitment.
Dreadful recruitment. Elaborate
which none of the coaches had any part of.
Yeah, but the awful recruitment also extends to the coaching staff. I mean, I don't think it's...
Yes. But I totally understand that. But in terms of the players, what you identified is, yes, they can... Teams with not as good players can still perform well and be better than some of the parts. But there was a massive mismatch in terms of the players that were on the field. Because Leicester have an absolute ton of money tied up in a handful of really, really fantastic international players. They have a lot of money tied up in players who they've kept on to too long.
Yep.
And they've let guys go they should have kept. And they've brought in guys that aren't the right profile.
I think Plotinau was playing. I think this is the thing which I think, okay, fine, you lose 36-6. But for lads like Will Spencer and Labanini on the field, I want to see them ripping people limb from limb. You know, that's what I expect to see. They've still got Kyle Eastman in there. They've still got Dan Cole in there. They've still got Plotinau in there. Granted, the back row are basically a championship back row.
And the back line.
The back line itself.
The whole back line.
Oh, Vianney's in there. You know,
okay, the whole back line, Vianney aside.
The 13 has got reasonable pedigree. I mean, they're not dreadful players by any stretch, but there was just no fighting them.
And you could slot any one of those players into a functioning team.
Yes.
And they would perform really well.
Yeah.
But you chuck that whole chemistry in together and you take out however many millions of pounds George Ford, Johnny May, Ellis Genge,
Manu,
Tuilagi, Ben Youngs. You take those guys out, five England internationals.
Yeah. But there again, I mean, Sale were missing at least five internationals. And look, that's not the point. I think the point I'm trying to make is, when you see a director of rugby lose, they have a few options available to them. For instance, Steve Diamond will go in there, and if he's lost, you know he's lost. It's a difficult place to be. I didn't see that in Jordan Murphy, and I thought that was really, really disappointing. I know everyone does it their own way, but it just felt like it's inconsequential now what happens in that game.
That is disappointing. If you're a Tigers fan,
yeah,
to see the way that they went down would be very, very frustrating.
Yeah, that's the most. I mean, yeah, that's the most disappointing loss I think this weekend.
Well,
Can I put one little request in for the AJ Bell? Can they get some better floodlights? Because it doesn't look very good on the telly.
They're like candles, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like there's a little yellowy, orangey hue.
There is, yeah.
It doesn't look good.
I think there's a request email address you can send that to.
Okay.
I think they had blue light filter on. Mm. It looked like that.
I know what you mean. It doesn't look great, power save mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look great on TV, does it?
Well, no, there were worse defeats. We talked about Saracens getting an absolute pasting.
And the other one.
And this was the real, real painful one for Northampton Saints, who were...
Good for 10 minutes.
Who were in third. They have lost three on the bounce now.
Yeah, and they started off the season so well, playing such a lovely attacking brand of rugby, developing talent or bringing talent through, young talent, and combining it with some of their tried and trusted players. And... the wheels seem to be coming off.
Here's where I think that they struggle. And I would also question their media strategy too. They struggle with their scrum. Their scrum is a disgrace. I mean, it is awful.
It wasn't that bad today.
It was that bad. It really was. And then they changed the whole front row round half.
It wasn't that bad.
It was. They were giving away... I mean, they were even interviewing the scrum coach... when they gave away a scrum penalty on the extra five.
No. There was a few scrum penalties. They won a couple, and a lot of them, they held them absolutely rock solid still.
Which is the minimum standard. Scrummaging is weak. Trust me. Even after the...
I don't generally disagree, but I think that's far from near the top of the list of their issues.
Well, I'd say it starts there, because if you can't win... if you've been pinged... In important parts of the field, if you can't win your launch plays, if you can't do all,
I think there were only maybe two or three in the whole 80.
Two or three penalties?
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's still a lot.
Well, they won a couple as well.
Well, look, I can only tell you what players have told me when scrimmaging against Northampton, and their scrum is definitely not good.
That's definitely the perception I get when I watch it. But I saw it today, and I saw for the most part it was fairly solid, but. I think of more of an issue is the fact that sort of what Phil talked about, the fluency of their attacking play, and maybe it's partly the conditions haven't been as good, but they're not doing the things that they were doing well.
No. And if they're not getting a platform, that doesn't help.
No.
Not having Dan Bigger doesn't help. Mm. Grayson's a good player, but he's young and inexperienced.
But he was doing it when Bigger was injured at the start of the season.
And they started brightly. This game started really, really brightly. They were out-physicaled. As Colm said over and over again, Yanis Kirsten had a very, very good game, just beating people up. And their big players didn't show up. I mean, Tamora Harrison, who I think has been an absolute hero for most of the season, I didn't really notice him.
Yeah.
I spoke to Rob Hunter, forwards coach, after the game, and just said, talk to me about the recruitment and the sort of the work that goes in. Because you seem to pluck these guys like Jacques Vermeulen and Yanis Kirsten, you know, and names that no one has heard of, and they slot in and do really well. He said, and his response was, there's no magic formula, there's no secret. We watch a lot of rugby, and we trust our eyes. That's all he said.
Yeah.
Because the side that doesn't mention, that we have heard about before, is they like to get references, character references, basically.
Yanis Kirsten's South African, yeah?
Yeah.
So, referee, I mean...
about personality types and pick good lads who will fit into their squad.
So my number one criteria for selecting a player would be... well, it's a sort of dual criteria. 6'4" South Africans who play in the back row. That is basically what I'm going to do. Now, Kirsten's a bit bigger than that, his second row, but they've got Armand, they've got Ewers. Well,
he's like a back five player, really.
Yeah. You know, no one seems to mention that Exeter seems to have an awful lot of South Africans. An awful lot. But yeah, they seem to grow on trees down there. Yeah. They fielded a Holes Zimbabwean back row. Armand.
English qualified, but yes.
Well, John O'Ross then. Englishman from Bedfordshire.
good English lad.
Yeah, they do. They've got the other second row who came from Worcester, who have never seen play. They do have a fair few of them.
They've got a few... they're doing... it's quite a nice mix, though, at Exeter, bringing some young lads, some of their own talent through, supplementing it with some South African beef.
Yeah, if you can get just three massive monster back row South Africans, you can then supplement everything else. Yeah, I mean that's fairly straightforward. Back to Northampton scrummaging issues. I do think it's weird the amount of money they spend on the scrum as well for that.
The
effect.
Franks boys,
yeah, they've got a lot of talent there.
They've got big injury problems in the second row, particularly at the moment. Yes. They've just brought in Glynn, haven't they?
Ben Glynn on short-term loan from Ospreys. Alex Moon got injured.
And Rituni
Urawa is suspended.
Yeah.
And what's the name? Ribbons is injured.
Laws is with England.
Well,
Laws is with England. So.
Who is the guy? Rifleman? Harry? Right? The guy who played today?
Alex Coles and Lewis Bean.
Rifleman Bean?
Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, he's from the army.
Yeah,
oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I had no idea what you were going on about.
I think
that.
Is he still serving?
I think he might be. Yeah,
I think he is. Yeah, so
he
I'm sure.
He came from National One.
Yeah, so that's a pretty cool story.
Oh, and Leicester had their number eight is an army boy as well, isn't he?
Don't know who's that.
Bolladow.
Bolladow. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Well, obviously, fairly famously, Josh. McNally is a weapons loader for the RAF.
And Rocco de Guni.
And Rocco de Guni, of course.
Yeah.
Well, no, that works. They still
weapons loader, that's cool. That yeah, sounds yeah. cool. Cool.
He straps weapons to typhoons, presumably.
Does that mean, is that, like, how, it's all dangerous to a degree when you're in active service, I get, but how, if you're, say, on a, if you're loading stuff on and then other people are flying them and dropping them, is that like a better gig? Like, in terms yeah. of, like, safety. Well, I'll stand back here, I'll stand back here and load it, lads.
Yeah.
Well...
You need to know the mortality
rate. I mean,
it rate.
Could... It could.
There is a thing about the RAF, right, which is RAF are the only service where the frontline fighters are officers. Everywhere else, it's like, right, you know, soldiers. And they sort of say this as a point of pride. And I would say, hang on a minute, maybe the officers fly the jets because for most of the time, it's really good fun. Like, really, really good fun.
Really,
flying
really
is good.
Good
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. Flying, and yeah, occasionally you go to war. But yeah, flying jets is good fun. So that is the difference, really, between the RAF and everyone else.
It's like my great-grandfather won the lottery during the World War II because he was a shipwright at Portsmouth dock. Uh-huh. So he was building ships. Which obviously you're a target for bombs,
yeah,
and they did get a lot of bombing. And he was a sort of volunteer fireman when the bombs were going off. However, it's a lot better than going across the channel.
Yes. Yeah.
Substantially better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be fighting fires all day long, given the choice.
And you know what? Had that not been the case, rugby podcast may never have happened.
Exactly.
Precisely. Other games this week. There was Bath Harlequins, which I don't really think needs much mentioning.
Didn't see it.
Neither did I. It sounds like a dreadful game on a dreadful pitch.
It was a dreadful game, dreadful pitch. Don Brandt scored another try. Bath won again.
Yeah.
Again.
Slowly didn't play very well, but keep winning.
Fourth, and they keep winning. And yeah, you look. I think their points difference for Bath
now.
Is minus nine or minus nine or something like that.
I think only three points in the Premier League.
And yet they've won seven games out of and lost four.
Only three teams in the Premiership have got a positive points difference, I'm sure of it. And one of them, maybe it's four, including Saracens.
Sale have the best. Plus 17.
Exeter plus 127. Sale plus
99.
Who else have we got? Bristol plus 6. Then Northampton in fourth, minus eight. Bath in fifth, minus 9. Irish, who are in sixth after their very good win over Gloucester. Minus 46. Then you've got Gloucester in 7th with plus 9. And everyone else, apart from Saracens, is minus.
Yeah, now, madness, isn't it? And it's such a low... The ones that are in the pluses are so low.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I have a special hotline to All Stuff London Irish, who find themselves in 5th now. And
you love London Irish.
Their fortunes have turned around. Well, I don't have a team...
You do,
explicitly speaking, I don't have a team. However, I've always followed the team my brother played for. And who did my brother play for when he retired for the last few years? His last few years of his career.
I'd argue
when he was a player of the season and all of that. The sort of best times he had in the Premiership.
I'd argue that he made his name at Sale. That's
So I've got a lot of soft spot for London Irish. But I do have a hotline to what's going on at London Irish. And do you know what's turned the corner for London Irish?
Not getting relegated.
What would you have done if you were London Irish a few weeks ago and it was not going well? If
take
you,
all the boys up for a beer.
Right, they went to Portugal for a week.
Did they?
Nice.
And so I'm sure they had a chance for a lot of the new players to sort of learn all the moves.
Yeah.
For one, they might not have.
Yeah.
Because it's relentless week after week. But they had a few beers together as a team and they've come back.
So Exeter together. Do that. Exeter. Try to think who told me this.
Go to the standoff.
Like pre-season, they would bring beers down to training, and you work really, really hard for a few hours,
yeah,
and then you have your beers.
Well,
so that's what we did. That's what we do at Talk H, just in pre-seasons. So you bring beers on the Thursday session. You run around the field as much as you can, then you enjoy the late nights. The late nights.
Not wanting to get you onto sale, but one of my favourite little things that I heard was a real tough fitness session in pre-season. And then Steve Diamond had the back of his little pickup truck with loads of beers in, and he was doing donuts around the pitch.
Love it.
And then they all sat and had all the beers. But beers does work.
Beers, it does. It's worked for centuries. I imagine it will work for centuries.
I'm sure
more.
Someone will get offended by that, but what the heck, deal with it.
On your inside line into London and Irish, any news on whether Sean O'Brien will ever play for them?
I think it's not far off, not far from happening. The reason I'm guessing that is because Nick, my brother, who has a sort of hotline in London Irish, picked him up on Fantasy Rugby Draft.
I noticed that.
I didn't notice that, but that's a
that,
telltale
that, that says
sign.
To me he's not far off being back. I saw that and went, okay.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Now, London Irish deserve a lot of credit because they seem to be the only team that are still really trying hard. Everyone else seems to have sort of packed. If you're not top four, everyone else seems to have packed up. London Irish, absolutely going for it.
Yeah, good to see.
I think this is what they need to do, actually. They need to
continue this form into next season.
Exactly, just carry on building into a decent team. Because they've got some bloody good names.
They do. They've got some handy players, if they can get them all. Playing the right kind of rugby.
Paddy Jackson is a name that's not panned out yet, has it?
No, what? No. Where is he?
He's available.
He's not on the bench?
Nope.
So they were playing him early in the season and playing him at 15 to get him onto the pitch, but I think they've realised they've got better options because they've got...
There's a better option, Stephen Myler. And that's not... I still think Stephen Myler was sent to the glue factory far too early by Northampton, though. Far too early. It wasn't what was happening at Northampton at that time. I don't think was his fault because everyone said, "Oh, he's playing too deep." This, that, and the other. The year before that, we saw him playing really, really flat, and he was a genius. So whatever happened there, I don't think it was his fault. And I think he's kind of proving that now over London Irish. Mm. Still play a bit. What does it say about Gloucester though?
They're the biggest. Well, so Northampton have got issues. I think bigger laws, their second row issues, Hutchinson. Furbank, you will see, I think they will turn that around. And the conditions have been particularly bad, and the style of rugby Northampton play is most susceptible to the wheels coming off if the conditions are bad. Gloucester, though, what is going on?
It's bad. It's bad. They are the most disappointing team at this point in the entire league. They've gone, and they had a hot start as well.
They had a great start.
And they're just, maybe... I don't know. I don't know what to suggest. I mean, looking at this team here, they haven't lost many.
Well, as
I mentioned, they've got the captain back.
As I mentioned on the Six Nations podcast, I watch Paledri for Italy, and I'm just scratching my head. How is he not a starter for Gloucester? He's not a first choice back row for Gloucester.
Yeah, but he's not the coach's son.
It's bonkers.
No, yeah, but the coach's son is class.
No, the coach's son should be number eight, and Morgan shouldn't be in the starting.
Yeah, but I think Morgan's
last
really good.
Year was great. He was, but he's not. Yeah,
he's not Paledri.
And it's the difference between last year and this year. Last year, Cipriani was great. This year,
not so much.
And did I mention, use the analogy of the Tino Asprilla at Newcastle last week?
Yeah. Yes, one too many.
I think, Chris Harris wasn't available to Ruben Ackerman, so
yeah.
He picked the Sippers, Atkinson, 12 trees. But I think Sippers needs Willie Hines on the inside, a real calm head.
Mm.
And he probably needs Billy 12 trees in the team for goal kicking, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
Yep.
So he hasn't got to worry about like territorial goal kicking, kicking because Willie Hines will do that. He hasn't got to worry about goal kicking because Billy 12 Trees will do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chris Harris thing means that I also think he needs Mark Atkinson.
He definitely needs Mark Atkinson. Does,
yeah.
But he's gone and signed Chris Harris, and that sort of balls up the equilibrium a bit.
Do you know who I'd like to see play nine for Gloucester if they could sign him? The Fijian scrum half that lives up in Glasgow?
Matawalu.
Yeah. Just to really, really spark things off there.
That is like, that is as close as you're going to get to
Yeah,
Tino
turn
Espria.
It up to 12. That's basically how Gloucester play, isn't it? They play at level 10 and win, or level 11. And, yeah, it all implodes.
Well, at this point, so we'd already called it, this year is not going to be Gloucester's year. Maybe next year.
Or maybe the year after that.
On results like this, I'm saying it might actually be the year after next year.
24 points is what they're on. I mean, everyone's in touching distance of fourth.
Yeah.
It's just not good enough. It's not good enough. And I think, I've said it before, I think they've been found out as to what they do. You know, they do a couple of things really, really well. There's no real variety. If their forwards, run in little pods of three, if they get over the game line, it allows Sippers and Atkinson to do their magic.
Yeah.
But we know what's coming.
Here's a controversial statement.
Uh-oh.
Willie Hines is more important to Gloucester than Danny Cipriani.
I can't quite get on board with that, but I certainly see where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I mean, having Hines and Brayley both playing international, and Simpson, so they are on their fourth choice scrum half.
Why was Simpson injured?
Injured.
So, Brayley's going to Italy.
Is he?
Makes sense.
He's moving to Italy.
Hmm.
Yep. Poor old Gloucester.
He's going to your beloved.
And then Harlequins are back down to. Yeah. This. Yeah. It's the league is a strange old beast this year.
I think we're going to get it, but I don't want a ring fence league.
Right. The only option we have. Two leagues doesn't work because you're always going to have the situation where you're going to have dead rubber, just like we've got in the Premiership. So two leagues doesn't work. You're just pushing that dead rubber down and down and down. Unless you push it down so far that no one notices. So yeah. You know, there's like four divisions and no one cares what happens to, I don't know, Macclesfield. Right, fine. Or we have my suggestion, and it's the only workable suggestion to keep relegation and ring fencing in play, the naughty stat. It's the only thing we can do. The more I think about it, the more, unless you can give me a workable alternative to have ring fencing as well as consequences for finishing bottom.
Two leagues, you can have it, because no one really cares about the bottom of the Championship.
Well, there is a third way, right, which is you ring fence 13 teams and you make sure that 13th team always comes back. So they're basically just a guest team of the Championship, and no one else in the Championship can win or go up.
Well, you could do that one or it's two. The same, right? You could do that with disparity of funding, but then you're not creating a fair product for the Championship.
We're getting a ring fence league. It's happening sooner or later, but it's happening. It's going to happen, isn't it? It's the direction of travel.
I don't think it will. I'm not so sure. Next couple of years.
Well, the Championship clubs are talking about changing the format back to a playoff as a bit of an.
I did love the Championship playoffs.
A bit of two fingers back up at the Premiership, saying, "Right, well, if you're going to change things, we can play that game."
The Championship.
Bristol Worcester. That was a few years ago, amazing.
Well, it wasn't as amazing as the London Welsh surge from nowhere.
Yeah,
beating Bristol, then beating Cornish Pirates.
No, but the playoff where it was like last minute try or 81st minute
was
try.
That an aggregate one? That was a home and away one.
It was a home and away one,
and it finished at six.
Aggregate rugby matches. We just don't see.
Was it a drop goal? Six way. Sorry, a drop goal.
I think it was a. I've got it in my head. It was a try that won it, and the conversion.
Oh no! It was. Was it?
Penal was involved.
Penal was it Kitchener? No. Who was it who scored that try?
Oh,
and it was like the Gavin Henson inspired Bristol team.
That was breathless, wasn't it? It was on a like Wednesday night.
Yeah,
and it was so tense.
Wednesday night at the end of May.
So I seem to think
one week before pre-season starts.
Hurrell was playing for Bristol, but he wasn't. That was another game when he played for Doncaster. And he was so good. Did they win that leg?
They might have. Doncaster might have beaten.
Doncaster might have won the first leg, and Hurrell just ran through Bristol. And the first player they signed when it was a Premiership was Hurrell.
Was Hurrell, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's sad, but I think the Championship should go completely regional and completely amateur.
We had this conversation.
It has to go.
But I think just looking at the Premiership,
the thing which
is it just we're not used to it? Is it like it felt weird saying Bristol Bears for a bit, but now it doesn't? Or is this just rubbish not having a relegation?
I mean, we know.
We
know what it feels like to have rugby like relegation because you can watch the Pro 14, and people watch the Pro 14, right? And which is fine.
People watch Leinster,
yeah. People
and Ulster and Munster,
but the Dragons never get any better.
The good teams,
you know. No one cares about the bottom of the league. You know, you can then start instituting welfare policies and whatnot because there's no consequences to coming last. And slowly but surely, you erode the league. So, we can't have it. Simple as that. We need relegation. I never used to think it was that important until it went away.
And this is a good case study. Because I've always been able to see the potential benefits, certainly for the England team, of not having relegation. By teams can blood more young Englishmen. Cam Redpath can get more game time.
Well, no, Luke James is getting plenty of game time.
But I don't want it, definitely.
Yeah, I don't really care. Yeah, I don't want to see second teams. And you know, like the idea of having a Leinster or Irish-style welfare policy where everyone has to be rested every so often, and which happens, I think it only happens in the inter-Ireland games, which is why you get those really weird matchups. It's just not acceptable. It's not acceptable if you want a professional league. And as a fan of the Premiership, you know, I don't want the league ruined by that. I accept that you got to do it for Six Nations when people are away, but no. You need relegation, and it needs to be competitive every week. That's why it's the best league on the planet. Or was.
The most entertaining.
Yeah. You know, the best.
The most intense. Well, best is a subjective term. And there were games this weekend that were not the best.
Well, yeah, unquote. Because we've ruined the league for this one year. And I'll tell you the other thing about ring fencing team where I don't think it's going to happen is because at the moment the league's in a very strange place where the most northerly team would be Sale Sharks. So you'd have to get Newcastle up and, you know, you would have said Leeds, but they're in such a mess that they'll never come back.
Yeah, if Leeds have got no chance.
If they had Leeds and Newcastle, that would work really well because then you have all the geographies covered. But if they ring fenced it tomorrow with the teams, it's basically a southern league.
I forgot to say, plenty of credit should go to us and Jack Willis,
beast.
He is absolutely awesome. In 50 minutes, he got three turnovers, beat seven defenders, made four clean breaks, scored a try. He's all action.
He's amazing, isn't he? I hope he isn't one of those players that misses out on an international career just because of wrong time, wrong place.
Yeah, because he's in a Wasps team that's underperforming.
Well, yeah, and also Sam Underhill.
Yeah.
And Tom Curry and Ben Curry and
Ben Earl and Lewis Ludlam.
Yeah,
Mark Wilson.
He's not had a shot yet.
Sam Simmons.
I can't help but think if the Six Nations was 1 month later, he would be in with a shot.
Possibly. Possibly.
Well, I think this is what the Japan tour is about.
Yeah.
Jack Willis.
Don Brandt
even.
Get them Although, several again, weeks in the camp.
It is interesting. Watching, it is alluring, watching the England game and seeing the level of work rate required at international level.
It's never ending.
And actually watching Exeter Chiefs and the level of work rate that they put in, I sort of made me go, I can understand why he's not picked Don Brandt.
Yeah.
Because he does lots of amazing things, but he's not that level of work rate yet. He will be. He can be.
I saw one of the best bits of work rate I've ever seen this weekend. Going back to the internationals, it was Dan Bigger, and totally irrelevant because he got called back for a penalty. It was in the phase towards the end of the first half. And Wales went wide to the left-hand side. Dan Bigger carries, gets brought to the deck and offloads from the deck to Hadley Park, who takes three steps forward. Hadley Park goes to the deck and offloads to Dan Bigger. He's made his way out of the tackle that he's just offloaded from to take the ball three yards. It was
Elliot Daly
is unbelievable.
Elliot Daly was contesting a kick at field. Somehow, I can't remember how it happened, but they lost the ball. It was booted back into the far corner and Elliot Daly caught it. The only time I've seen better work rate than that is when Tom Johnson and Moritz both wore the same scrum hat. And I wasn't aware that there was two players in
Tom
the same
Johnson
scrum
is everywhere.
He's everywhere.
But this is why I might say Don Brandt, I can see actually why he's not international quality yet.
Yes.
But Jack Willis is. He has
because
that
of the work rate.
He has that work rate quality.
And it would, I think it would be brilliant to get that, so many of the wider.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Potential players into Eddie Jones's squad for a number of weeks and see if they have what it takes. I think you're exactly right with the Japan tour. It should be like if you were selecting an England 15.
Yeah.
Like when they play against the Barbars.
Get Thorley in, give him games.
Definitely get Thorley in there. 100%. Get some scrum halves in there who aren't Willie Hines and Ben Youngs. Any of them. Don't care. Yeah. Pick three.
I only go with Mitchell until today. Although I did think Mitchell had good, you know, some sparks.
He's only had two appearances this season, so he'll be one to watch.
Yeah.
But Exeter, by the way, great pasties.
Yeah,
at that
did
club,
you sample
which,
them?
Which I did sample them. I do every
Devon
time.
Pasties.
Did someone bring them to you inside, or did you go outside with the proles?
I went and got my own, but Jack Knoll was filmed tucking one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you have any in Devon? Do they do the scones differently to Cornwall?
Apparently, it's jam.
Is it jam then cream rather than cream then jam?
I think it's, don't get this wrong
because this is serious.
Now, I just think, functionally speaking, jam then cream is easier to do because it's harder to spread jam on top of cream.
Depends how thick the cream is.
And it depends how thick your jam is.
Yeah.
If your jam's runny enough, you can just like almost pour it
scoop
on top.
Scoop it on with a spoon.
So I would never have this problem because I would put jam on one side of the scone and then cream on the other and then fold it up like a sandwich.
Oh, you have to like dislocate your mouth like a snake eating a...
It's fine. But that's
unless, not good. Unless you cut them into like, get your scone and cut it into three or four slices rather than two.
Like a Big Mac?
Yes, like a Big Mac.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, and then you can get even more cream. Because the scone is just a vessel to get quite a cream into my body.
Scones are terrible.
There's a fantastic... do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes. The highlights only.
Yeah. It's such a funny show. The new season's on at the moment.
I've not seen the new season.
A very, very, very dry scone. It forms part of a storyline.
Okay.
Which is very funny.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. The way I think would be easier to do it is jam first. However, I like the sweetness being immediately there to taste, so I prefer the taste of jam on top. Mm.
There is another Cornish food story, which I was not aware of. Apparently, it's bad luck to take a pasty on a boat.
Mm. What?
Yeah, this is true. So we went sailing in Falmouth, friend of the pod, Ollie.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
They're for mines.
Yeah, yeah. So
we got
a box of pasties to take on the boat. And the woman who's serving us pasties goes, "You're not taking this on a boat, are you?" So, well, yeah, we are. It's bad luck to have a pasty on a boat.
Do you know the other thing about, like, you're right about the mines, the crust was there, so you didn't. So that's what the soot went on to.
Yeah, you just chuck away the crust.
You don't eat the crust. But they also used to be made
savoury
and sweet.
Half and half.
Yeah,
with no gap in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, there would be a period where you're eating a bit of beef
and
a bit of jam.
Popcorn, like, half and half.
Like Joey Trivioni's
trifle.
Trifle.
Cream, good.
Beef,
jam, good.
Beef, good.
There you go. So I think we've covered most of the Exeter food scene now.
And can I also just say, I love going down to Exeter as a packed house, fantastic atmosphere, brilliant fans, actually good food. You can get a good coffee there as well, which is quite which is out of ground.
Tell
it's
you
rare.
What,
you can get a good
question.
Flat white.
I asked a question on Twitter this week, and it ruffled some feathers. And it was a genuine question. It wasn't a gotcha. It wasn't like, you know, I think there's. I just wanted to know who owns Exeter Chiefs. That's all I wanted to know. Who owns Exeter Chiefs? This
not Tony Rowe.
Yeah, this got people very, very excited. It turns out it's it's members, it's club members own the club. But reading about Tony Rowe, do Tony Rowe started off his life as a, well, not started his life, but joined the Royal Marines.
Really?
Yeah, that was his background. But it gets better, right? He then got made redundant from the Royal Marines, so disappeared out. He went to sell motorboat engines. And I think he's got like a national title as a motorboat champion.
Wow!
Yeah, like, and then he started his business.
SW Comms. Yes, or Southwest Comms, and then got involved in the Chiefs.
So I don't know if you picked this up, Tim, and I'm kind of I don't know. I don't know the Exeter culture well enough, but that club, there seems to be a lot of links to the forces, in particular the Royal Marines. So all of their fitness staff, I think, are ex-Marines.
That they're pretty good people to do this kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, but it started making me think about the culture of it, right? Which is, obviously, Exeter have got this amazing culture. And whereas Saracens built theirs, I wonder if Exeter just imported theirs from... Well, not imported, but just, well...
We'll just get in.
Bring in some Royal Marines.
Yeah, Dartmoor's where a lot of military training and loads of stuff happens. So Devon's a big place. And I think Limpstone is one, and there's... obviously, the ports.
You've got naval bases down there.
Strategic naval bases. So, yeah, there's a lot of that down there. Cornwall the same.
Yeah. So, that's just an interesting observation that I made when I was digging around Exeter Chiefs, thinking about things to write about.
But for absolutely bloody fantastic club, and they can have 10 odd thousand people in, and like that, they clear all the car parks, you get away. So, infrastructure
beautiful.
And
play. Wow, that's important. That's the one.
It is important.
That's one that the fans are wondering about.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it every time. Even though we had 15 minutes of post-match after the game on BT Sport.
I was watching
once the England game had already kicked off.
Yeah. Ooh. I watched it till the end, Tim.
You did, yeah. You missed the first 15 of
the game. I wouldn't miss a second.
I appreciate that.
Of your coverage. There's some games on next week.
Yes.
Who are they?
It's a fallow week in the Six Nations, isn't it?
It is.
One week back and another week off.
It's always... That is one thing that would be potentially better if it were to be Five Nations. You could have continual weeks because each team would get a mandated... They'd play four games with one mandated rest week.
Mm. Or you could say that would be what happened if there were seven teams.
Or seven.
If CVC are stupid enough to bring South Africa into the Six Nations.
Did you read my article about CVC this week?
Not yet. I saw it went up. Was it Friday it went up?
Yeah, I basically explain how CVC make their money and how it's a little bit more complex than people think. They're either, depending on who you listen to, CVC are either going to revolutionise the game or they're going to destroy it. There's not really an in-between, and I'm just trying to explain there is a bit of an in-between. I still don't think it's a good deal. And I hope to God that they don't buy the Six Nations. But I think that ship might have already sailed.
Mm.
If they do buy the Six Nations, I just think it is the wrong thing. I mean, I can't tell you how wrong it is. It is. It's just not a good... I can understand why Premiership clubs do it, and frankly, the owners are big enough and smart enough to deal with their own consequences. But if CVC bought the rights, the commercial rights, Six Nations, this is bad news. It's just going to strip money out of the game, and it, you know, it sells itself for Six Nations. It doesn't need it. I see why the club game might want it, but yeah, it's... very worrying times. I hope CVC do not get their hands on the Six Nations.
As much as that, if South Africa suddenly got pulled out of the competition they're in, it absolutely shafts Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
Argentina.
And Argentina. Yeah.
There's all sorts of things going on. But ultimately, CVC need to make money every year. And cash flow is very, very important. And I think the whole rugby strategy is all hinging. It wouldn't surprise me. Do you know, the more I think about it, it wouldn't surprise me if this deal has already sort of been winked through and nodded through before the Premiership deal came about. Because the Premiership deal and then the Pro 14 deal paved the way nicely, because that's all the home unions.
Mm. Including South African sides.
Yeah.
Pro 14.
Yeah.
Kind of, they've already got a taste of the cash. And that paves the way nicely to sell the commercial rights to Six Nations. And I really hope it doesn't happen. Mm. Do you want to know some other interesting bits, or shall I shut up?
Briefly,
where can everyone find the article?
Well, this isn't in the article.
Oh, okay,
but the interesting part is now that World Rugby, or shall I say, the unions, are putting out all of their packages to tender. So all the TV companies are now bidding on them. So I think there's 9 different packages, and what happens is you get some bids, and then you sell part of it, and then the bids come back, and then you repackage it and you put it out again until everything's sold. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or someone just comes in and buys all nine for, you know, just blows you out the water and takes it all. Well, this is going out now. It's called Project Light. And after Project Light has gone out and they've sold all of the packages for international rugby, depending on what they go for, the packages for the Premiership will go out, the new CBC stuff. The problem is they're going out just after the international stuff. So there's a very real possibility that when the Premiership put out their TV deals for retender, that there will be no money left in the broadcasters who have spent it all
on international stuff.
So there's actually a real possibility that it might be going out on air for free and no one is paying for it.
Surely that's not. No. After the last deal.
Rubbish.
Why? Why is it rubbish?
Because only one person can win the broadcast deal for the international rugby.
No. There's nine different packages.
Yeah, but they're not directly competing, or they're very rarely in.
Well, they'll have the same pot of money, and it depends on your focus, right? So the reason BT Sport... Do you know why BT Sport don't have internationals?
Well, they've got a limited pot of money.
Well, the actual reason is... Their logic was you don't buy a subscription to watch an international team. You get on the pub. You buy a subscription to watch
week
your team
after week.
So there might be a different way of looking at it, but it is worrying and it's unusual that the commercial packages go out at the same time, and that's the problem because you do only have limited money, and if you buy all the Six Nations and all everything else. You know, there is a good possibility that you're going to have a reduced bid on the Premiership.
I just can't see the Premiership.
I'd put this in your list of things that might happen, but aren't. There's no substance to like Nigel Ray's buying the Championship.
What do you mean? There's no substance to that.
Well, he hasn't bought the Championship.
No, but that's not what I didn't say. He was definitely buying the Championship.
No, I know.
What I said is there've been
he could. And it might be it might be an interesting idea if he did. I understand what you're saying. I can't tell you the genesis of that story. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's an issue.
Yeah, I would put this in a different category to that Nigel Ray story, but I think the chance of no one bidding for the Premiership.
The chance is small.
It's
commercially
pretty much zero, particularly given the increased deals on the last few rounds of bidding.
The increased deals don't mean anything. Just because it's increased year on year. As Steve Diamond says,
trajectory.
All the time, he says people are paying more money, but no new people are watching.
Yeah, which is true.
Which is absolutely true. So once all the broadband has been bought, right? So BT Sport are using using the Premiership in order to basically sell broadband packages. Same with football, same with everything else. There's a big gamble going into Premiership Rugby. It's not clear that it's actually paid off. But once all the broadband has been sold... Well, where's the money coming from? It's all a big cross-subsidy.
And so when BT Sport have a total monopoly on broadband, then they'll stop paying. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there's a lot of effort and money gone into purchasing sports and image rights in order to sell broadband, yes. Commonly known as the broadband wars.
Yes. So, are they close to that monopoly yet?
Who knows? Who knows?
One last thing before we go, unless you've got anything.
No.
We've got the fixtures, haven't we?
We'll just rattle through the fixtures.
One thing that I did think was quite interesting, an interesting centre partnership lined up for Toulon this week. Did either of you see who it was?
I'm going to go with Surveyor and someone else.
Surveyor and Reece Webb?
No, not that. That would have been interesting. Not that interesting. It's a winger, so another winger. I've never seen him play centre before.
Tuisova?
Who is no. as big. Tuisova doesn't play for...
Oh, no.
Plays at Lyon, doesn't he?
No.
I can't remember where he plays.
I'm sure he plays at Lyon.
Not Toulon.
He plays at Lyon.
It might be Lyon, yeah. No, he's probably almost as big as Surveyor.
He's that kind of winger.
Oh, Ben Lamb's gone to
Montpellier.
No.
Oh, Bryce Heem.
Bryce Heem, yes. Heem and Surveyor. And they, between them, they carried 10 times.
3 yards.
How many yards in total?
10 times 30 yards.
20 yards in total.
Wow. Wow.
They lost the rubbish. Game?
They did. They lost to La Rochelle.
La Rochelle are flying, by the way.
La Rochelle are doing very well. Yeah, very nicely.
Lyon, I think Lyon are second, are they? And Bordeaux first,
yeah.
God, French League's so weird.
Lyon beat Racing as well this week. Good win.
Yes, they did, yeah.
Pro 14, anything happened there?
Something happened.
It's the games when there's no players about. So
no players.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Ulster won. That's enough.
Against?
Cheetahs. King Ruin's return.
Hmm. Oh, was it? Ruin Pienaar played at Ravenhill.
He did.
Did he?
That's a nice moment.
Was it a warm welcome?
Yeah. Excellent. Absolutely. Would you expect anything less?
No, not really. Right, okay.
Premiership fixtures. Yes. Friday. Gloucester host Sale. Got to be winnable for your boys this year.
As much as everything points to a Sale win.
He didn't deny it. He didn't deny it. You said your boys and you didn't correct Sale.
I thought I assume you mean Gloucester.
Gloucester, yeah. Seffers, Atkinson.
Yeah.
Ed Slater.
My boys.
Your boys.
Yeah, can my boys Gloucester do it? That's a great question. Everything points to Sale winning this, which means a Gloucester will win it. I can't see Sale winning it. I just don't think it's... No. Sale's still not winning away from
Diaga?
Oh, I met him.
Is he back yet? He back playing soon? Must be getting very close.
Yeah, he had a slight sling thing on this week.
Okay, so maybe not the next week.
It's not quite. Okay.
You're not going to pick him up in fantasy rugby yet?
You'll know when he's about to play.
We'll get a few days heads up.
Sale are going to win this.
I don't think they are.
I don't think, just on the road. Gloucester are not playing well, but yeah. Sale on the road.
The other worrying thing as well is Aka van der Merwe, who has been superb when he plays, is in a bloody moon boot. So that's, yeah, and obviously Faf's knee's not cleared up.
So you're both going for a home win.
Van Rensburg is out.
Home win for me, Gloucester. Home win, Gloucester.
I'll go away win, sneak it.
Can we just talk about how good Sam James is for 2 seconds?
No. Next game.
Next game. Quinns host the Chiefs.
Quinns, Chiefs. Look, just judging Chiefs. From this week, if they're starting to hit their straps. What does that mean, by the way, hitting your straps?
Yeah, I don't know where the etymology of that is.
Yeah.
But what hits your straps, though?
Yeah, anyway, if they start hitting their straps or whatever it is, yeah, they're going to go well.
It's only when chatting to guys over this weekend. Sorry, I'm struggling to finish the sentence. We've been going for a long time.
Yeah, it's tough Monday night there.
Yeah, tough Monday night. I mean, long time when you add the podcast we did yesterday to this one.
And you've been working all afternoon.
Yesterday and all afternoon today. Anyway, so I only realised how hurt they were by losing at home in the league. That they were really, really pissed off. And they've had Rob Baxter said that they were running on empty and they've had a load of time off during the Premiership Cup semi-final weeks and they said they're all refreshed and raring to go. So, yeah.
Good.
We got an etymology on hitting your straps yet? An idiom?
Horses in harnesses wear straps to keep them in the correct gait.
Ah, so when they start spanking their horses?
Hmm.
Hitting straps, is that right?
Yeah. It's not entirely clear, but that is one.
The idea of looking for the straps of one's swag pack.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't get it. No. Anyway, whatever it is, Exeter to win away.
Yeah, if Exeter start brutalising their horses soon, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Leicester host Worcester.
This is an interesting one.
Worcester.
This would have been, in the normal season, this would have been... a real relegation battle, or could have been a real relegation
battle.
This
could have been a massive game.
Yeah.
I know. So annoying, isn't it?
This could have been a huge game.
I know.
This could have been a half hour focus of the podcast just on this one game.
Game of the week. It could literally have been the old Leo Vegas game of the week. But no, not anymore, because Leo Vegas stops paying us. So.
Yeah, and I've already mentioned them too many times on this podcast.
Yeah, didn't pay me for any of those mentions.
Give me Leicester. No, give me Worcester. Give me Worcester at home. Sorry, Leicester. God, it's been too long. Give me Worcester at Leicester.
Which, what internationals will they bring back? None of them. They won't bring back any of them, will they?
No.
Leicester at home. Sneaking it.
No, give me Worcester. Yeah.
Jay?
My boy, Duncan Weir.
Worcester.
Next.
Northampton Saints host Saracens. Saracens away again. Christ, two teams that need a win.
Saints going
to
win.
So normally when Saracens have had a hide-in, they play Saints to correct things.
The best way you look
I
at
really need to go.
Yeah.
Because I need to get to Morrison's to get Pat Lunch stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
You've got 14 minutes. Right. Northampton to win at home.
Hang on. You know you could go to Co-op?
Co-op,
that's what I mean.
14 minutes.
Right, okay, yeah. I would just say that the best way to work out this is work out how much each team lost by this week, and then the difference between that
Saints
will be the score.
So
that gives Saracens 3-0 win.
Yeah, 4-0. 54-50.
There we go. 54 to, yeah. Actually, didn't they have the same losing? I think it's 0-0.
0-0. Oh, yeah, 57-7 and 60-10.
Yeah, it'll be 0-0.
So it's 0-0.
0-0, so it's going to be a draw.
Yep.
Perfect.
0-0 draw.
Final game, London Irish host Wasps. London Irish, another win on the bounce, maybe?
I don't know.
Irish.
Give me Irish at home. And then Bath host Bristol.
Horrible pitch.
Awful pitch.
Soggy pitch. I'm probably going to go for Bath.
No, I think I'm going to go for Bath.
Yeah. If it was at Bristol, if it was at a decent track, I'd say Bristol, but Bath are going to win again.
So if Sale win...
You chat about Sale, I'll go.
Tim, you got 13 minutes left to buy some packed lunch gear.
I've got to get...
Well, they're having lunch tomorrow.
Whatever's on offer in co-op.
Louis gets lunch at school, secondary school now.
Mm-hmm.
Fingerprint thing. I do it all with a fingerprint.
Oh, okay. Where's it school? Jail.
Chorten High. Connie, I need to get.
Right,
some
you.
Cheese, biscuits and cheese and shit.
You go.
You go, right. Tim.
JB, wrap this up.
Okay, we've done all.
Another 10 minutes on sale.
Actually, is there anything else I want to talk about while Tim's not here? I'm allowed to talk about whatever I want.
No, because I want to have a beer and then I want to get home.
All right, and fine. Okay, well, you can find us on Twitter. You can find me at jbeardmore. Tim will be at Cocker. Phil will find you if he wants you. That's how you can contact him. And you can also subscribe to us. Tim, you okay?
Just looking for my keys. What's the left one upstairs?
Okay. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, Acast app. Apple Podcasts or whatever it is.
Player FM is good.
Player FM. Yeah, loads and loads and loads.
Podcatcher.
There you go. So from me, Tim and Phil, we will all see you next week after yet another great weekend of Premiership Rugby. Goodbye, Phil.
Goodbye, JB.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.